So we had people from the 90s all the way down to little bitty kids. And it's pretty cool because you could see the love that they had for one another. Even though they don't see each other all the time, you could tell the love. It was like they were just so excited to see each other. Because some of them, that might be the last time we see them. So it was kind of a celebration. Not that anything's going to happen, but they're older now, so you just never know. Because we only do these things like every 10 years or whatever. So, but you could really see the love. And it was, we were in Kentucky, about the middle of the state. Yeah. I love Kentucky. It's great. And I love the Southern hospitality. And the Bible Belt, I think they get it right. Everywhere I went, I saw witness wear. People had Jesus stuff on all the time. They were so kind. Everywhere you went. And the food was amazing. Hospitality, off the chart. Kindness, I could not believe it. I didn't even know half these people I met. But for some reason, they got it going on. It seems like, now I know they have their troubles down. Don't get me wrong. I know they do. Meth and all that stuff run wild down there too, because once you get past that facade, I started talking to some of the family, and they're like, well, you know, there's lots of trouble down here. I said, I know, trouble's everywhere. It's everywhere. Don't feel bad, because it's everywhere. But you guys are doing a better job than we are up here. I just don't understand. I don't know if it's population or what it is here, but there's not as much kindness here. And the hatred here, I just can't, the news, the shooting, and that's how they solve things up here, shoot each other. Down there, they just, you know, honk at you with their big truck or whatever. That's all they do. They just seem less angry. I don't know. Which made it a lot better, a lot more fun. And it was so welcoming. And it made our trip just great. So I was thinking the whole time, what am I going to speak on? Well, first of all, when you go on a trip like that, and you haven't seen anybody, everybody wants to see you. So every minute that you're there, they're texting, hey, let's go here, let's go there, I want to show you this, let's go to this farm, let's go here. I'm about to explode because I'm like, turn the phones off. Let's just pretend like we're not here for a while. That didn't work. They found us anyway. But we had fun. Everywhere we went, we just had a blast. You know, they introduced us to their friends, and we go here, and we go there. We got to go hiking one time, two times actually. That was very cool. You ever been to Cumberland Falls? That we went to there. That was one of the places we went to. That was very fun. And it was the gorge. Went to the gorge. We had a lot of fun there, too. It was just everywhere we went, people were so, so kind. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm on vacation. I could talk about getting rest, because the Bible says, get rest, right? Take a break. Unplug for a little bit. Turn your phones off. Just relax. God is good, right? God is good all the time. He really is all the time. And he's working all the time. Even when we can't see it and we don't feel it, he's still paving the way for us. All we have to do is stay on track. So I'm thinking, well, I don't know. We have Independence Day coming up. Independence, I speak on that. That's kind of like everybody does the 4th of July thing. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to do family, because family was so fun. I was like, if your family hasn't had a reunion, you might want to have one. You know, because there were some relationships that had gotten repaired, because they haven't seen each other in a while, and it was over petty stuff. You know, God doesn't want us to be like that. Extend the olive branch, okay? Sometimes we have to say sorry when we're not at fault, but we're going to extend the olive branch to you, just like Jesus would. So I ended up doing We Are Family. That's kind of why I did that song. I don't usually do songs, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. Although I forgot it was communion, and I started feeling guilty, going, well, now we're going to have fun after communion. And communion's a big thing, right? Getting your heart right, and I was feeling guilty. I'm like, I'm going with it. This is what I got. God, you told me this, so I'm going to go with it. So here we go. Whew. I feel like I said a mouthful already and haven't said anything. We haven't even started the message. You know, when we think of our family, the cool thing is we have each of us have our own personal families that we have, right? Your spouse, your kids, and it just goes out. Then we go to our church family, what we have here, and then we have God's family. We're all in God's family. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have opened your heart and let Jesus in, guess what? You're in God's family. You are a child of God. Amen? This is like, okay, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3. And by the way, if you're ever looking for family stuff or relationship stuff, the Bible's loaded with stuff. You know, you start digging and you go on these rabbit trails and you're like, well, I don't have time for all of that. It's all good. And then you take a few notes and you forget half of it. It was like, but God is good. I know he's so good. So verse 1 says, see how very much our Father loves us? For he calls us his children. And this is what we are. Exclamation point. This is what we are. We're children. We're in God's family now, right? But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So we are children of God. We are to live as children of God. You know, a lot of times the children mirror the parents. So we're supposed to mirror Christ. That's the whole thing, right? We're supposed to be more Christ-like, becoming more and more like Jesus. So we are children of God. Let's go to Romans 8 real quick. I just want to read a couple of these. It's Romans 8, 15 and 17. She's like, one moment, please. Okay. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought you your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Amen. Right? Now let's go to Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Another version, let's see. Well, I don't have those notes. So we are children, and others that aren't, they don't recognize us as children of God because they don't know Christ. So if they knew Christ, they would know when they see a witness wear or even somebody's speech when they talk differently than the world, right? So on this trip, besides hiking and some of the other stuff I got to do, I got to go golfing with my nephew, which was a total blast. We went to the public course there, and it's very popular in that area because there's not a whole lot of golf courses there. So speaking of people who don't know him, they don't know us as children of God. Riley and I, first of all, this place was like a little mini resort, and come to find out that there was a group of 40 guys that came in from Indiana to play this course. Okay, so you can already imagine, okay? These guys were so crazy because they're cut loose from the noose, right? They're in a different town. They're acting crazy. I mean, the guys in front of us shotgun a beer before they tee off. You know, the language is crazy. They're having a blast. I mean, they're just insane, obnoxious, and just crazy. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm looking at Riley, and he's like, man, I don't know. I'm like, it'll be okay, dude. Once we get going, we'll be fine. Once it thins out, they get ahead of us a little bit. So they took off and was like, okay. So we get out there, and we're playing along. We're looking back, and there's nobody there. We're like, all right, there's nobody behind us. We get a break, so those guys can just go. And they had their little speaker with them, and they're thumping country super loud, right? And it's a golf course, you know, it's like, you know, it's fun, but there are some rules on a golf course. This was like super, like being at a country concert. So they're driving their golf carts and being crazy and all this stuff. So Riley and I are having a really good time. And then the group caught up to us, behind us. These guys were jamming like gangster rap. So we were sandwiched between country and gangster rap the whole time. I was just like, Riley's just going, I don't know. I go, it's going to be okay, Riley. It'll be okay. we're just going to keep playing. And it's hard to focus when they're just thumping and boom, 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 and they're just having a good time, right? They don't know. We're just like, forgive them, Jesus, for they know not, okay? It's okay. They don't know you, so by world standards, it's okay for them, right? So they're having a good time. So we make it all around the whole day, and they could tell we were different. You know, we weren't trying to be super Christian or anything like that, just trying not to use their kind of language or get into what they were doing. And they'd offer us beer, and they would, you know, talk to us, and we just talk to them normally. And they're like, hey, man, you guys are pretty cool. It was like, how'd you guys get sandwiched between this gang of goofballs? You know, it's like, I don't know. You guys want to play through? But there was a whole gang of them coming, so it was like, you're stuck. But we had a good time, right? So it was like, they don't know what they're doing, right? Like, they're just guys having fun. So we just give them the grace card and let them play. We had a great time. Great time. It was a nice golf course. The guys were really cool. We got to the clubhouse. Everybody was really cool. And it was like a high-fiving and all that. But picture Caddyshack on steroids, okay? This one guy was wearing cowboy hat. He had sunglasses on. He had colored socks up to his knees. He was... hey, man! You know, it's one of those guys like, oh. But you know what? They were some of the coolest guys we met. They were just guys having fun. And I was like, you know what? Another time, when you're not drunk, we can talk about real things. But, you know, you guys are having fun, so we'll just give you a pass on that one. So they don't know. But we know. We didn't succumb to their way of thinking or even talking or even partaking in anything that they were. We weren't being rude or anything like that. We were just... oh, man, we're good. We're good. You guys have fun. We're good. And you know what? They respected that. We really didn't have to say a whole lot negative or anything like that to them. They accepted us for what we were. We accepted them for what they were. But it was fun. So in verse 2, it says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. Man, are you guys excited for when he's coming back? He's coming back soon, guys. You know, nobody knows the time or the hour, but we have to be ready. He's coming back. He said he's coming back. So we have to trust that he is coming back, and we need to be prepared for when he is, right? And I was thinking to myself, if he came back when those guys were like that, you guys are bombing. They don't know, right? So we need to be prepared at all times. But we do know that we will be like him. It says like him. We won't be him. We'll be like him. For we will see him as he really is, as a holy God, a true, pure, holy God. You know, the, I can't think of the name of the band also. Anyway, I'll skip that. Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. I think about that song all the time because it's like, if God showed up right now, I could only imagine. Would I be able to speak? Will I fall on my knees? He's a holy God. Of course you're going to. He's going to be, he's so pure, so holy, without sin, ever. Pure. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to purify ourselves as we walk this thing out. Right? Unload that stuff. Like Alpha was saying, unload what you're carrying. And if you've been living in darkness, just quit. Repent and get back on track. It's easier than you think. Just do it. God forgives you. If you truly repent, truly, more than just like, I'm sorry, it's not good enough. Repent. Do something different. Okay, where am I? For who he really is. And all who have this eager expectations will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. That's our goal, right? That should motivate us to try to stay as pure as we possibly can. Because there's a holy God coming. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. And when John wrote this, he was talking about people that just live that way. They practice it. You know, you pretend like you're a Christian and you go out and live a completely different life. That's what he's talking about. They continue to sin. Although we'd sin too. We all sin, right? But we don't make it a practice. Sometimes we lose it. It's okay. Repent. Truly repent. Say, I'm sorry, God, and move on. He doesn't even remember it. Once you repent, it's gone. Let it go. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. You know, guys, we're in a spiritual battle, and we talk about this all the time. Some people choose to ignore it, but it's a real deal. Every day we have to make a choice. Who are we going to serve? Ourselves, or are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve this world, or are we going to serve God? Every single day. The devil doesn't take a day off. And if you do, guess what? He's going to come calling. He's going to look for that crack in the armor. That's what he does. And he's very, very good at it. That's his job, is to get us off course. We are at war. We have to be ready for the battle. The battle comes every single day. And sometimes we don't even know how to fight this battle. We can just cry out to Jesus, help me, Jesus. I can't do this. And guess what? He will. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but he will. And just let it bear out sometimes, because it takes a little while for things to happen. I read this, I don't even know where I read this, in one of the books I was reading. I thought it was pretty cool. It says, every time we resist temptation or turn from sin, we're becoming more like Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. There's no temptation that we cannot escape. He's made a way out every single time. It's up to us to make that choice. You know, it's like running a stop sign. And I've said this before. Sometimes that spirit will tell you, stop, don't do it. But you do it anyway. You go right through the stop sign. There'll be three or four times God will give you a way out if you look. If you stop and think and pray, God, help me. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of this, God. I need help. He will help you. Okay, I forgot where I was. Contrary to law, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. He came to take them away, not just for a short time, forever. Take them away. It's like, God, I don't want this anymore. Help me. Take these sins from me. So anyone, oh wait, I skipped one here. And you know that because Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him, he's absolutely pure. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. That doesn't mean you won't occasionally sin. That means you're not going to live that way. We want to change. The Spirit is telling us change. We've been given new hearts, new minds. We have to renew our minds all the time, right? You hear us say it every week, you have to renew your mind. We are bombarded with everything on social media, billboards, radio, TV. You know, it was weird. I was disconnected from just about everything. And some of the areas that I was in didn't even get cell service. You know what? I didn't even miss it. At first, I was like, I'm missing something, like your wallet or something, that feeling. Because I wasn't up to date on what's going on in the world like I really care. But when you didn't get cell service, you just didn't care. You found other stuff to do, other stuff to talk about. It's amazing. So it's just like, you know what? Start turning this thing off more often. Don't be a slave to your phone. A lot of people, that's all they do. You see them walking all the time, driving. How many times do we see people driving, looking at the phone? I mean, I passed people. We went 300-something miles just to get there. I bet I passed 10 people that didn't even know we went by. In a giant SUV. I mean, I'm looking over going, he doesn't even see us. How could you not see us go by? And he's just looking straight down. I was like, gee, I wonder why there's accidents, right? I mean, come on, man. Get your head out of your phone. You're supposed to be driving. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Like I said, there's a difference between occasional sin or staying where you're at. You're pretending to be a Christian. You know, God knows, and we already mentioned it, you're going to see him face to face someday. Like Annette was saying in her devotion, we are going to see him face to face, and we are going to have to make an account. What'd you do with my son? What'd you do with him? What'd you do with the talents that I gave you? Think about that. How many people are sitting around, you haven't done anything, and God's blessed you with all kinds of stuff? You need to step out of your comfort zone. Just do it. It's okay. You know, the cool thing about church, it's very forgiving. Nobody here is a pro. We're not paid. Worship band's not paid. Nobody's paid. So it's okay. You make a mistake, it's okay, right? We forgive each other. Hey, we don't claim to be pros. Don't claim to have it all figured out either. Last time I spoke was 30 years anniversary of being saved. I feel like I just started. This thing is so loaded, so rich, I feel like I just barely scratched the surface. It's amazing how you can open this book and learn something every time you open it, if your mind is right. Sometimes you read it and you can't remember what the sentence was. Been there and done that, right? And I know as a new believer, reading this is hard sometimes, but sometimes you just got to keep pressing on, keep going. Even if you just read a little bit, a chapter, half a chapter, whatever, eventually it'll start clicking. You'll start understanding where God's coming from. Or ask people for help, going, hey, what does this verse mean? Sometimes it's not as black and white as it reads, but a lot of times it really is. He means that. That's why it was written that way. So, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, meaning we're morally right. We're trying to walk this thing out. We should be different, right? When you go somewhere, people should know that you're different. When you interact with people, just by your speech or even your body language for that matter. I did meet the mopey guy, the mopey gas station guy. He was awesome. I don't know if he was hungover or high or whatever he was. It took him forever. He's just like the shuffle. I call it the shuffle. You could hear his sandals, shh, like he's skating. Shh, shh, shh. I'm like, boy, he wants to be here. But on the other hand, he was there. I'm like, it's gotten so bad. At least he's here. Amen. I was like, hallelujah, there's a guy working here today. I still haven't figured that one out either, why people don't want to work. I just don't know. I just don't know. I don't get it, but that's everywhere too. People are people. Have grace with one another, right? So we should be different. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. When you're living in darkness and you're doing whatever you're doing, sneaking into clubs or whatever you're doing that you're not supposed to be doing, that's not from God. God doesn't want you to do that. The devil says, yeah, come on. This is what I want. I want you here. That's what he wants. That's rebellion against God when you deliberately sin. Those who have been born into God's family, here we go, we've been born into God's family, do not make a practice of sinning. That's the old guy. That's the old guy before Christ, right? Or old girl before Christ. We did whatever we wanted to do before we knew Christ, right? Christ set us free from that. Amen. Our sins are forgiven. When you say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, you're set free. Hallelujah, right? You get a whole new life. You get a new mind. You get a new heart. New attitude. The whole thing. I mean, God is so good to us. Sometimes it defies explanation. He's so good, even when we don't deserve it at all. We all deserve hell. You know, because our minds, devil's playground, we all think weird stuff. Sometimes we say weird stuff and we don't mean it, but sometimes the old guy's still working his way out. But the thing is, you keep your eye on Jesus, you will work it out. You will be transformed. You really will. It's like when people leave recovery and they go up back out into the world. They get beat up, banged up. They come back. They look like hell. They've been through hell. First thing they say, it's hell out there. Duh! That's why we say stay in the herd. Stay in the group. Stay in the family. You're in the family. Don't run off. Although, you know, there's always that wild cousin or something somewhere down the line that does his own thing. But that's okay, too, because there's one in every family, come to find out, right? None of our families are perfect. There's at least one. Yeah, sometimes more than that. But God is good. You know, sometimes I wonder, too, it's like, you know, when you see a person like that, how many times has that person been witness to? Does he continue to deny it, or is he just kind of reckless like we used to be until somebody told us? That's kind of why it's our job to share. It's like, hey, man, there's a better way to live. There's a way better way. It goes against everything this world shows us, but guess what? There's a better way. God promises us that. It's a better way. He'll turn your life around. He really will. He'll get you out of the hell that you're currently in. He frees you from all that stuff. And there's going to be nothing better than spending eternity with him. Amen? I can't wait. I can't wait. Although after this past week, I was like, I'm having fun again. So I'm kind of on a fun high. He's been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. He came in and just flipped this place upside down. Turned all that stuff that Jesus or that Satan has done in your life, flipped it up to new. A brand new life. So as children, we need to act like that, right? We need to be different. We need to make a difference. I think it puts a smile on God's face anytime that we do pretty much anything for anybody. Any kind of kindness, an act of kindness, even a kind word. I think it puts a smile on God's face. It's like, all right. I mean, that's the bare minimum we can do, right? High five in Jesus' name. Anything. Have a great day. Whatever. Just, that's what made it weird. When I went down there, the hospitality and everything, they said something to me first. And I'm not used to that because up here, people walk right by you. Even when you go, hey, what's up? Straight ahead. They won't say anything to you. Down there, they're like, hey, how you doing? Y'all from around here? No. But you have to slow down because they're in no hurry. They'll talk to you for a while, too. It's like, well, I'm just getting some gas. You know, it's like, got to slow down. But I loved it. I think they get it right. I really do. Just because it's so different. And I can't believe it's that close, but it's so different. We are uptight here, I'll tell you that. I don't know what it is about this area, the St. Louis, whatever. Maybe we're under a curse or something. I don't know. But it's different here than it is there. I love the hospitality. It's good. Food's good. People are good. So don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, I forget what it was. But when you keep on sinning, in your story, okay. Those who have been born into God's family do not make it a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. God lives in us. Holy Spirit, we were given the Holy Spirit when we said yes to Jesus. Meaning when you open your heart to God, you let him in, you have the Spirit to help you. He's the one who gives you that nudge like, hey man, don't do that. Hey man, turn left instead of right. Hey man, don't go in that club. Hey man, don't go here. Stay away from those situations. If you're struggling with something, stay away from it. Right? Sometimes we're drawn like a moth to the light. Even though we know, hey, I'm going to get burned if I go there. Sometimes we're dumb enough to not listen to the Spirit, and we do it anyway. But that's all part of working it out. So, you know, we all struggle with something, right? We all have something. Something we're struggling with. Whatever it is. Maybe it's pride. I would probably think most people in here probably have a little bit of that. That's probably one of the bigger ones. There's some temptation that we have that we all struggle with, right? In Romans 7, it talks about the sin. Paul's writing, it's like, why do I do what I don't want to do, but I do it anyway? Doesn't mean that we're doing it, we're sinning on purpose, we're working it out. God knows if you're working it out or not, or if you're just using it for an excuse, right, to continue doing it. So John's talking about the people that are just constantly practicing their sin and trying to justify it, right? That's the people he's talking about. Just going, I can do this, I can go here and get away with it. You know, if you're struggling with something, the last place you want to be, if you're drinking, the last place you probably want to go is a bar. Right? That's just dumb. You know? Just stay away. Stay away until you get this under control. Just stay away. You can have fun without alcohol. I know it's crazy, but you really can. Amen? It takes a while to work it out, but you can have a lot of fun. That's the thing about God's economy. You know, because sometimes we get looked upon because they don't know what we know. that we're not fun havers. We love having fun, amen? It's great. God is good. That's the joy that we have. That's the fun that we want to share with everybody else. It's like, come on, we don't need all these other things. So we've been born into God's family because God's life is in them. So they keep on sinning because they... Wait a minute, I just messed that up. God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God, family of God. So now we can tell who the children of God are and who are children of the devil. You can see that. The evil, that doesn't take much to figure that out, right? That's pretty black and white. Just turn on the TV and you can see the evil in the world and you know they don't know God or they wouldn't be acting that way. Or if they do know God, they are so far from Him. There's a lot of evil. But the times, people's love is going to wax cold. Scripture tells us that people are going to be like that. And we're seeing that now. People are selfish. They really don't care about others. And God's economy is completely the opposite. We're to help our brothers, right? We're all a big family, so we want to help each other. So now, we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's pretty evident. You can see people who are not children of God. They're not in the family, just by the way they act and talk and everything else. I want to back up a little bit. I skipped over something here I wanted to share with you about struggling with something. There's a few things you can do if you're struggling with something. If you have a sin that continue to deal with, a thorn in your side or whatever it is, seek the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Spirit, so seek the power. Pray. Read God's Word. Read God's Word. That's one thing you can do. Second thing you can do, stay away from the temptations. Stay away from those situations. And the third thing is seek help from the body, our family. Help each other. Seek help. Like, God, I need it. Guys, I need accountability. I can't seem to get this on track. Everybody needs at least one person they're accountable to. It just helps our walk, right? And that's the beauty of being in groups, because you share things you wouldn't normally share. It kind of makes you a little more accountable, right? So when you're doing a Bible study or the women's group, things like that, you guys talk about stuff that you wouldn't talk about in public, but it helps you be accountable. It helps. Because we're all struggling with something. And the worst thing we can do is run and hide. That's the worst thing we can do. If you just feel so overwhelmed that you can't deal with it, you go hide. You know, it's one thing to take a break, but when you're hiding, you are a sitting duck. That devil is just going to get you. He's going to beat you down. He's going to fill your head full of nonsense. And sooner or later, you're going to believe it. Nobody loves me. They've abandoned me and all that. But it was you. You chose to go hide. You shouldn't be like that. If you're dealing with something, bring it out into the light. Let God help you deal with it. It's okay. That's what we're here for, right? We're here to help one another. So we're moving down. The next header says, love one another. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. God is love. That's one of the biggest things He says. You will know them by their fruit if they love one another. Some family members are hard to love, right? But nonetheless, we love them anyway, right? That's how it is. That's how it is in the families. We love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing, turn the page, Cain had been doing what was evil. And his brother had been doing what was righteous. You know, here's one for you. As you're growing your faith, you're making an honest effort, and God is changing your life. Have you ever had anybody that comes to you maybe and they feel guilty? Their guilt is coming out just because you're a Christian. You ever had that happen? I had a family member that happened to me. It happened years ago. And we were having a great time, and all of a sudden, this family member yells, "You think I'm going to hell?" In my mind, I'm saying, "Yeah, you are," but I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm dealing with my own stuff. I'm not the judge. God's the ultimate judge, okay? You work it out with him." I wasn't even talking about God. I wasn't doing anything about God or church or anything. I just happened to be in the room. And was like, "Yeah, come on, man, it's right." I was like, "I didn't do anything." But their own guilt was coming out. And was like, "You're being convicted of your stuff, and I didn't even say a thing because I'm trying to live my life differently, and it bugs you." And that's kind of what's happening in the world today. What we believe bugs all the other people because they don't want to deal with it, right? There's been some minor victories the last few days, I've heard, and some of the court system's been pretty good for the Christian people. Hallelujah. So things are slowly turning for the good. I just thought it was funny. It was like, I didn't really know how to react because that was been years ago. It's like, that's one of those times better off not to argue about anything because they're already incensed and I'm not. I'm just having fun. I'm just standing in the room with everybody else. But the funny thing was, you were being convicted. But in one sick way, it made me feel good. You know, it's like, okay, you can see that I'm different. I don't go around telling everybody, "Hey, I'm different now. I'm a Christian. Da, da, da." I don't like that. I'm just trying to live my life and act differently. And evidently it's making a difference. So praise God. Okay. The world's going to hate you. You know, Jesus warned us of that. He told us that's going to happen. He says, "Beware. They hated me, they're going to hate you." So in one way, it's kind of a compliment that they hate you. We should feel good about it. Although sometimes when you're standing in front of that person, it's not so fun. But we should feel pretty good. Like, okay, we are making a difference. We're making a stand for God. Guess what? God's going to have your back the whole time, too, no matter what happens to you. We always used to joke about it. So what are you going to do, kill me? Are you going to threaten me with eternal life? Okay. I'll take it. I'll go. I'm going. I'll take it. So if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. We're different. You know what's funny sometimes? Like when you tell somebody, "Hey, man, I love you, man." It kind of throws them off just a little bit because they're living in the world and they really don't quite understand that because of what's going on. We're in a spiritual battle every day. And there's a lot of people just do not want to deal with it, so they put it away. But guess what? What are they going to do when he comes back? And they're not prepared. They're going to have to stand there. "What did you do with my son?" From death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. You ever see those people? We call them zombies. You know, you always see those stickers, zombie killers or whatever. There's a lot of people that walk around like zombies. They're just plain. They have nothing. They believe in nothing. They're dead. They really are dead inside. They're walking dead. I feel sorry for them sometimes when you see them, but they don't want to hear it sometimes either. When you try to talk about it, they're like, "No, I'm good." Okay. I can tell by looking at you how good it's working out for you. Okay. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Think about that. So we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Hallelujah. What he did on the cross for us is amazing, right? Saved us when we didn't deserve it. While we were still sinners, he came to our rescue. I remember when I accepted Jesus, I struggled for probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months. Like, I don't get it. I get it, but I don't understand why you would choose me. I'm not worthy. And he's like, "Because you're the one I want. I chose you." And I'm like, trying to figure out why he would, because I don't deserve it. Come to find out, none of us deserve it, right? You guys still with me? We're cruising along here. We're almost done. Okay. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So, we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now you think about that. It's like, what does that mean? Give up my life. That means help. That means if you have, maybe you have a network of people that you could help somebody out. Maybe you have extra money that you could help people out. Maybe you have skill that you could help people out. That's giving up your life for them. That's what he's talking about. If someone has money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? I've met Christians like that. They're still bean counters. Even when they have more than probably most of us put in this room together, they're still counting beans. And they don't know what you've received from Christ. And it was like, you know, you're going to have to make an account for that, because Jesus says, have your fun now, because it's coming later. It's coming. Are you ready? Dear children, let us not merely say that we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions. Love is a verb, right? We do. We don't do it to become a Christian. We do it because we are a Christian, right? We show the love. You can go a long way by showing people love. And sometimes it confuses them by just being nice to them. And they're like, well, what gives? Nothing. Yeah, what do you want? I don't want anything. This is how I am. This is what I'm supposed to do. You can go a long way with that. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. God knows your heart. God knows. We all have that evil in us. We all have that. All of us do. You know, sometimes when you see things on TV, you're like, man, I'd like to take that guy out back. You know? What would Jesus do? He wouldn't do that. What, some of the stuff we think about, but you know, it's like we all have it in us. Ooh, you don't have to feel guilty. You know, God knows everything, and he goes far beyond our feelings. You know, you can't live this Christian walk on feelings, okay? Because if you're waiting to feel God move or something, you might be waiting a while. If you're waiting for that feeling, I'm just not feeling it, God. You know, he doesn't go on feelings. You know, we just go out and do. And our actions should show who we are. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God and with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and we do things that please him. Now, it's not like asking to win a lottery. You're not going to win the lottery, I hate to tell you. Jesus wouldn't do that to you. Because if you had all that money, would you really need God anymore? Probably not. You go out and do your own thing again, right? So why would he bless you with that kind of, you know, a lot of those, you ever see those stories about people who've won the lottery? It's like a curse. You know, it's just like the rich man, when he's talking about before, the rich man doesn't want to lose anything. So then you hibernate, you put all these cameras up, you build all these walls around your million-dollar house, and then you become some kind of freak because you're afraid to go outside. Who wants that? That's not living. You created your own prison. So when we do things to please him, things will be given to us. And this is the commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us to do. And those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him. You know, when you're trying to do your best, things go pretty good. Things go good, I would say good to pretty good. But the moment you stop doing that, things kind of go off the cliff. It's almost a guarantee. You know, if how many of you wandered off the range? I think everybody in here at one time probably has, probably more than once. We all have done that. You know, and it's bad when we do that. So if you've been wandering, just come back to God. Just come back. It's easier than you think. You just repent and you're restored. It's that simple. Truly repent and you're restored. So those who obey will remain in fellowship with him and with them, and we know he lives in us because of the Spirit that he has given us. God is good. Amen. And if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a child of God. Amen. You're in God's family. That's a hallelujah. Right? Praise hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's all we have to say is thank you, Jesus. It works. It really does. So I want to ask in the end here, if there's anybody here that needs prayer for anything, anything. We have people that you can pray with. You can pick anybody and pray. Remember, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. Like, God, I want to invite you into my mess and help me deal with that. It's a sign of strength. That's all it is. It's not weakness. It's strength. Tap into the source. God wants to help you. He wants you back on track. Because we're his children, right? And also, if you don't know this Jesus and you're not a member of his family, the opportunity is tonight. All you have to do is open your heart and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please come into my life. And he will. Open your heart to him. So if there's anybody that needs any prayer for anything, seek people out. There's people here with tags on. Everybody here, we're a family. We can all help one another. Amen? So God knows your heart, and we walk this thing out. It's good. It's a long, long, long and winding road, right? Some days are better than others. But you know what? We get up. We keep walking. We continue to stay in God's Word, worship God, listen to music, whatever you have to do to stay connected. Do it. Stay connected. Don't let a day or two go by without some kind of spiritual input. Maybe it's a phone call to a friend. Maybe it's a text with some scripture. Whatever it is, meditate on God's Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the family. Amen? All right, that's all I have for tonight, guys. So I want to pray real quick, and we'll hang out and do some fellowship. So, Father God, we just thank you again for tonight. I thank you for our veterans too, God. That's awesome. And Earl, thank you for the poem. Lord God, we just love you so much, God. And thank you for welcoming us into your family, God. Oh, man, you are amazing. You've done so many good things here and all around the world, God. You are working all the time. There's miracle after miracle after miracle, God. All we have to do is open our eyes. And we thank you for that. Be with us as we go home tonight. Get people home safely. Those who are traveling, that are out and about now, and some that are leaving tomorrow, we pray for their traveling mercies for them too, God. Let them have fun and rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And that's all, folks.